As I say so many times, my throat stays tied up most of the time because of preaching and preaching. Well, I guess I preach a little hard, as some folks say. I know I get a little loud and get a little excited, and for that reason, it seems that my throat stays tied up a great deal of the time. And but we still have to love Jesus and still have to praise God and do what we can. I like to mention one or two things here just before we talk to you. We're still planning to go into Canada. I wonder this morning how many are planning to be in Canada with us. Maybe some of them are going. I heard say that some were planning to go to Canada. How many are planning to go to Canada? Anybody? I see a hand back here that's planning to go to Canada. And, all right, maybe there's not many of you going to Canada. There was a number of them at the beginning said they were going into Canada. But some of them perhaps are not going. But we are still planning to have the meeting in Canada or be up there. I don't know how long. Brother Walden mentioned being there more than the time that we had planned. And the other brother from Canada also mentioned that we'd be there longer. But we're planning to go into Canada. And then we're planning to return to Jeffersonville, Indiana for our meeting in Jeff. Brother J.T. Parnell called this morning, and he's still wanting to know about setting the tent in Jeff. He still wants the tent set in Jeff, and we did get the lot to set the tent if we want to set the tent. We do have a number of things that we can choose from. The Civics Auditorium and the 4-H Club and I don't know, all kind of things up there that they've got now. About four or five or maybe six different places, I believe, that they've enumerated. And we can have our choice in that. Whereas Brother Billy Paul and them, they're having their weekend convention. That is the Labor Day convention. They're having it at Parkview Auditorium. So I suppose by that they must be expecting several thousand people. Brother Bob was telling me that when they do that, they're usually expecting several thousand people. So they must be expecting several thousand people. Whereas I thought that was real timely in the way that Bob related that to me, in that David had spoke of something similar to that, and the tent, we had spoke of something similar to that concerning the tent, and also this meeting in Jeff has to do with Pentecost. Some of you probably didn't know that, but it does. And of course, there was 3,000 at Pentecost. And this meeting has a great spiritual significance. As I've said so many times, it's been my privilege to have God walk with me that all of our meetings seemingly have had such a great spiritual significance. And it has thrilled my soul beyond words of expression. But this meeting has such a great, great spiritual significance, and we're planning to do all we can in our little way and little part and making it as successful as we can. Brother Mitch is working with us in it, and David Paul and some of the others, they're doing all they can with us, and others are trying to get things ready to where we can make it a successful meeting. As a matter of fact, I don't know what the board will render on the decision Monday when they come together. So far as the Brother Branham Tabernacle, but Brother Collins, the pastor, said it would be out with him for us to have the first day or two in the tabernacle of the meeting. And also, Brother, he said that he would announce the meeting in their services, and Brother George Smith favored the meeting and said he also would announce the services. And the tabernacle to that extent is open to us, and of course they've got to have the board meeting, and it's up to the board as to what they do about it. But it is really something that the pastor has opened the Brother Branham Tabernacle to us, because I had told David Paul, I said, David, this meeting that we have this time has to be worked through the William Branham Tabernacle. And I said to Brother John, I said, for that reason, John said, well, they won't open the tabernacle to, you know, to nobody. I said, but for this reason, they will this time. And so the pastor did this time. Whereas Brother Bobby was saying it was a real surprise to him for since about 33 that they didn't do that. And but anyway, it has, whether the board rejects it or what, God opened the tabernacle to us like he said he would, and that the pastor is the one that has the say. Now, the board members might ride over that, but the pastor is the one that has the say. It is not fitting that I, as the pastor, should invite somebody into the tabernacle here and the board members say no. That would be unreal. That would be unreasonable and slap out of reasoning for anybody to do any such as that. As a matter of fact, you don't need a pastor if you don't have any more confidence in him than that. And he certainly don't need a board member, a board of members that's going to work with him after a fashion like that. You couldn't imagine the president being like that in the board of members when he's got something vital and important to do, that they just turn it down flat. I wouldn't be a president for a nation like that. I'd walk out on them. So God did what he promised, and we feel like everything else will work out just exactly the way that he has shown us that it will work out. And if that worked out that way, then we feel like the rest will work out just exactly the way that he's shown us, and it will be perfectly in harmony with what we understand and what we have confidently committed to the trust of those who are trustworthy in talking to them. Some people are trustworthy and we talk to them and we commit things to their trust. Some people we don't because they're not trustworthy. If you tell them something, they get it scrambled up like scrambled eggs, and they'll do anything in the world to tear down what you're doing. So then we don't talk to them about it. But where I find trustworthy people, then we commit things. Paul said commit things to trustworthy men. But I wanted you to know that we're planning to be in Jeffersonville, Indiana, in the meeting. And as I said, Brother J.T. Parnell called from Lafayette, Indiana this morning, wanted to know what we were going to do about setting the tent in, that the place is available for us to come and set the tent. Now, I know there's some of you that are planning to go to the Jeffersonville, Indiana, and I'm curious to know who is planning to go, if anybody, to the Jeffersonville meeting. Okay, we've got a few more here that's planning to go to the Jeff meeting. All right. Now, I believe that we're going to have a great meeting. Whether you go or whether you don't, it's up to you. If you want to stay here on the home front, keep the home fires burning, well, that's good. I'd rather you do that, because if you went up there, otherwise you'd be a hindrance to me. And I'd just rather you stay here. But those that really feel led to go, that feel like God's in it and feel led to go, then I'd like to have them to go, and they can strengthen our hands in what we're doing up there. But I feel like we're going to have a great meeting. As a matter of fact, Brother Walden the other day was telling me that the way he talked, God had spoke to him, and he said that you're going to have a great meeting in Jeff. So he is also interested in the meeting there, and also Brother Harberger. How many remember Ernie Harberger? Brother Ernie Harberger called this morning from Virginia. And was it this morning? Last night. Well, I guess JT called last night then. 1:00 Well, 1:00 this morning. Okay. Brother Harberger last night. Okay, Brother Harberger called last night from Virginia, and he wanted to know when we were going to New York, because he said he had a lot of people in that area that wanted to be in our meeting and back us up at a meeting in New York, and he didn't know that we'd already went and come back. And he said that he wanted to know about the Jeff meeting because he wanted to be in the Jeffersonville meeting. So whatever, the Lord is blessing us in what we're doing, and we're looking forward to it. And like I said, I want you to pray. You that I notice was very few of you raised your hand that you're going, so all the others that didn't raise their hand that's going to stay here, I'd like for you to pray now for the meeting. I'd like for you to pray. I'd like for you to stay here. and that you don't feel to go, and you pray for the meeting, and you pray that God will bless us up there, and pray that God will help us in the meeting, and you that raised your hand that feel to go, I want you to come along with us, and I want us to work together and see what we can do for the cause of Christ in Jeffersonville, Indiana. You that stay here, I want you to keep the home fires burning and do everything you can here on the home front to keep confusion down and to keep the wolves out and keep the flock together. All right, I want to read some to you this morning. If you've got your Bibles, we will talk about some things. You know, the Bible speaks of the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. And when Paul speaks of the mystery of godliness, he refers to it as saying, great is the mystery of godliness. Or great is the mystery of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. Whereas a lot of ministers shy away from trying to expound the mysteries of Christ or unveil the mysteries of Christ because they do not understand the mysteries of Christ, and it is the better thing that they don't try to explain them because it would just cause a problem. Whereas other men attempt to explain the mysteries of Christ because they feel that they understand them and God has given them the understanding, and in some cases they have made a big mess. Some cases, some men really have been inspired and they have brought forth the understanding of many great mysteries of God. But whether it be so or not, it's always been the same as it was in the days of the prophets. When the word of the Lord came unto the prophet and said, thus saith the Lord, Israel, you'll go down in Babylon for 70 years. Here steps another feller up and he says, the word of the Lord came unto me and thus saith the Lord, it won't be so. And they crossed everything up, and it was just one big mess until the prophet of the Lord faced him, and then he died from presumptuous speaking. So everything gets in a scramble in the day we're living in, as it did in the days of the prophets, because you always have false brethren, and you always have people saying that God said, he said, they say, the Lord said, howbeit when the Lord hath not spoken. But it is a true fact that when you are preaching the gospel and expounding the mysteries of Jesus, that it is not you speaking, but it is the Heavenly Father speaking from within you. And it is necessary that the mysteries of God be expounded. And this morning, we're going to explain a little bit, if we can, why that it's important for the mysteries of God to be explained, and why it is yet important, on the other hand, that the milk of the word be given to the babes in Christ, and that Jesus used the terms, feed my lambs. All right? Let's read a little bit here. We'll probably have to read a good little bit of this to be able to understand. But start in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, and let's read from the 7th chapter. The first verse, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. And I'd like to stop here just for a moment and say this. You that are not very good listeners, whereas I can truthfully say that most of my people are good listeners, whereas they were poor listeners when they come, that is some of them. But you that are not very good listeners, that all you ever think about is a shout and a holler and a jump and a run and a dance and whatever, whereas I don't know of anything better to do when the Spirit is quickening you than to dance and holler and run and jump and praise God, like David, to run through a troop and leap over a wall, because the church is dead today without the quickening, and that a lot of people don't want the moving of the Spirit. But to you that are not very good listeners, if that's all you do is use that for a hobby horse, you never live right, you never try to listen, I want you to know that you are not going to understand the mystery of eternal life, and you are not going to pass from death unto life. You can shout and jump and holler and do all you want to. You can feel the Spirit of God being poured out on you and still die and go to hell. So then it pays for you to learn to be a good listener Whereas the Bible used the terms to give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, for you are saved by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and not hollering and dancing and shouting. So then, give the more earnest heed to what you have heard. And the Bible said, take heed how that you hear it. And then we're commanded to grow in the grace, but also in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not planning to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be sure that the only grace that you'll ever have is in this day of the dispensational of grace, this dispensation of grace that is given to the Gentile people. And when it's over, you'll die and go to hell. That's all the grace you'll ever get, is while the blood is on the seat of atonement. But if you can get the words of righteousness in your heart and the knowledge of righteousness in your heart, then, my brother, sister, it will produce the faith that will translate your spirit into the spirit of God, or into the kingdom of eternal life, and you'll be preserved forever, body, soul, and spirit, because it will change your body and save your body from death. Not only from death in the sense that you say, I will die and be resurrected, but in the hour that we're living in, it will save your body from death in that they will not put it in a coffin. You will not be put in a grave. So then listen real good, because Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all be put into coffins. We shall not all be put into graves. That is, we shall not all die. We shall not all sleep. There's going to be a change. So I read this again. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. If the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For her will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, reading two whole chapters of the book of Romans, we come back to the part here in the eighth chapter. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. The 12th verse. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I want you to consider that just for a few minutes now. I see we got some visitors here over in the balcony. I don't believe I've seen them before. Would you tell us your name, please, sitting right along here? From where? Tifton, Georgia. Well, praise God. We're certainly delighted, my brother, to have you here with us. And this your wife and little one here. We certainly appreciate them being out here with us. Appreciate so much having you. And has the young lady here been with us before? Could you tell us her name? Is she up from near your home? Well, we're certainly glad to have her here with us this morning. How do you appreciate these people being with us? I appreciate so much having these people to be with us. It's wonderful to have people to come and visit with us. And we have people all the time from everywhere that come, and it just warms our hearts so much. Brother Ron's brother, Joe, coming to be with us from California. It's just so wonderful to have him here with us. And we enjoy your fellowship so much. We hope that you'll come with a regularity to visit with us and to be partakers of the blessings of God with us, for we want your fellowship. Now, speaking of these things, I want you to consider just a little bit as we talk with you. In this seventh and eighth chapter of the book of Romans, this seventh and eighth chapter holds the secret of the mystery of God. I know perhaps some of you could not get a hold of that, but it is a true fact that if you can get a hold of the seventh and eighth chapter of the book of Romans, you will understand the mysteries of God. If you do not understand the seventh and eighth chapter of Romans, I believe with all of my heart that you will never understand the mysteries of God. Because the secret of the whole thing lies within the seventh and eighth chapter of the book of Romans. I discovered this many years ago. And I felt that the secret was within the seventh and eighth chapter of the book of Romans. And I set in to find out whether I was mistaken or not. And I found out for a fact that it was true that when God unlocked the seventh and eighth chapter of the book of Romans to me, then the revelation of Jesus Christ was unlocked to me and I found the mystery of Christ. Now, so today, I say it humbly and sincerely from the bottom of my heart, not in any way of exaltation, but as a simple statement that God has wonderfully given me the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Pike, you don't know that you've got the revelation. Yes, I do know that I've got the revelation. You could not be rich and not know that you had riches. Isn't that right? There would be no way that you could know it. You say, but Brother Pike, to say that, that is exalting yourself. Then why did Paul say, God hath given me much revelation? There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me because of my much revelation, he said. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Why did he say that? God had given him the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why did John also accept the fact that he had received the revelation of Jesus Christ? Now you say, but Brother Pike, that was John. That was Paul. Well, is God a respected person? Should Paul in that day, way back there, understand more than we understand today? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you know that Paul the Apostle understood more than we understand today. I don't believe that. Somebody say, I love Jesus.
I might say, but Brother Pike, you're saying the Bible. No, I didn't say the Bible. I said Paul. Paul was a man. What Paul wrote in the Bible is there in the Bible. You don't take away from that at all. You don't add to it. It's very clear what the Spirit said through Paul. What measure ministry was through Paul. It's very clear what God done concerning Judas. It's also in the Bible. Isn't that right? It's clear what he done concerning John. It's clear what he done concerning Peter. But did Peter make a mistake? He must have. Paul said, I blamed him to his face because he was to be blamed. Yet he had the keys to the kingdom. Opened the door both to the Jews and the Gentiles. You can't tell me that people back there knew more than God's people of today. That couldn't be. If that's true, then everything is going backwards. That couldn't be. God has never ordained such. My brother, my sister, we're moving toward the fullness of the thing of God. We're moving on into the grace, the great wonderful understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so then, I believe that today that we know the very same thing that Paul the Apostle knew. And not only that, but living in the day that we're living in, there is some spiritual present day things that we know that he didn't know. Somebody would say, you really believe that? There are some things that we know that Brother Branham didn't know. Brother Branham learned a lot of things in his day. But beloved friend, we're living in an hour when Brother Branham didn't get to see some of the things that's happening around us. Some of the spiritual allegoric things that's unfolding right now, right around you and I, he didn't get to see them. Therefore, he couldn't have even typed them out if he had wanted to, because he didn't even get to see them. But there are spiritual things that God's doing that those men did not get to see. You say, but Brother Pike, they saw those things. Then that makes God a lie. Somebody said, why do you get that? Because Jesus said, I'll do a new thing. You say, but they saw it. If they saw it, it couldn't be a new thing. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Solomon waxed bold in his day and said, there's nothing new under the sun. God said, I'll do a new thing. Somebody said, where is it at? Calvary. Solomon never did get to see it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. How do you believe Calvary was a new thing? All right. You say, well, Solomon couldn't have been right then. Yes, he could be right. Well, how could he be right? He could be right because the Bible said Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Nothing new under the sun. Already happened in the mind of God. Already happened. Isn't that right? It was in the act of the creation of God in the mind of God before the world ever was. God let Solomon know it. But brother, when God manifested Calvary, it was a new thing. It was a new thing. The Son of God had never come to earth and took those nails in his hands. Never before. And brother or sister, today God's doing a new thing. You say, name one thing new in our day, Brother Pike. The Bible said God's mercies are new every day. Glory to God, I'm enjoying the new mercy of today that Brother Branham couldn't enjoy because he had the mercy of yesterday. Paul couldn't enjoy it today because he had the mercy of yesterday. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm talking about the new mercy of God of today. Did you know that sin is so great and the things that's happening around us, beloved friend, is so great and so staggering that it takes a new move of God, a new move of grace, the same glorious grace, but a new move of grace in the day that we're living in to be able to cope with the affairs and the situation that we're confronted with of today. You should be so thankful, so grateful that God would privilege you to be a part of this great, mighty last day moving. It thrills me every time I think about it. My cup literally runs over. I hear people talking about God and talking about different things, and they don't seem to have any enthusiasm and any drive. And they say, you know, God's great. I think, God's great. Hallelujah. You know, when you say God's great, somebody said, God's great. Brother, when down inside of me, when something says God's great, it bubbles like a spring. Can you talk about life and not feel the effects of it? Can you really believe in life and not feel the effects of it? Is that possible? There is no way that you could believe in life and not feel the effects of it. On a hot day, you're thirsty. Just dying for a cool, refreshing drink of water, and somebody brings you that cool, refreshing drink of water, could you possibly turn it up and drink it and not feel the refreshing and feel the effects of it? Why, you couldn't do that. So then it is with me. I drink of the mercy of God and the glory of God, and I feel it. I feel it like fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. It's something that thrills my heart. It is something wonderful. And I think about the wonderful blessings of God and the way God is leading today, the way He's leading the church. You know, He leads us in so many different ways, step by step, just one step at a time. And He does it because He has a purpose. He has a plan. You say, what is His purpose, Brother Pike? What is His plan? God wants us to be led by Spirit. That's what He's trying to do. Now, answer this for me. Could God not have given Israel a bushel of wheat every few minutes? Couldn't God just have given them manna that would have lasted them for years and years to come? Couldn't God have given them manna that would not have become wormy the next day? If God was able to bring manna down from heaven, couldn't God have made that manna last from now on? Isn't that right? But why did God let it get wormy? Why did God do that? God had to do that for the simple reason that when man gets too much, he forgets about God. The prophet said, Israel, I fed you to the full. Thus saith the Lord, I fed you. But when you go into Canaan land, beware lest when you're fed to the full, when everything's just fine, that you look and say, who is God that I should serve Him? And wasn't it true that they forgot about God? The prophet said, you'll turn away from God in the hour of your prosperity. America, what have you done? You've turned away from God, isn't that right? When you had to labor, God came unto you and He was dear unto you. But look at you now. You got haughty, you got high-minded, you got nice automobiles, plenty of fine buildings. You can go anywhere and purchase something. Education, you've got everything you want. But America, you've got haughty. You've got haughty, like Oral Roberts said the other day. He said, America, God is rubbing your nose and your mistakes just exactly like He did when He brought the dung over there and gave it to the prophet to put the face in it. Rubbing your nose in your mistakes. You know, Oral usually don't preach like that. That's something for Oral Roberts to do that. But he was talking about the mistakes that he also had made. But let me tell you something, children of God. God wants to lead us day by day. That's why He doesn't care about the cupboards being full all the time. Somebody said, but old Brother Pike, if I don't have a few dollars laid up, I just don't know what to do. If I don't have a little money in the bank, and if I don't have just a little bit on the side over here, I don't know what I'll do. I can tell you what you'll do. You'll pray and seek God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You'll pray and seek God. But brother, if you've got it laid up in the bank, you're not going to seek God. You're not going to do it. You'll put it off. You might get down there and go through something faking it and mumble and grumble like you're seeking God, but you're not going to seek God. Amen? But oh, my brother, when the meal bell gives out and the children begin to cry and the wife begins to say, hey, what are we going to do? Daddy will go somewhere and say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And then the faith comes up and everything's all right. Because see, that's what God's wanting. He's wanting to keep your faith up. He's not selfish. He's not mean. God's not trying to be cruel to you. He just knows that if you get your cupboards full, then your faith goes down, and then in the end, your riches causes you to lose your soul. Isn't that right? It causes you to lose your soul, whereas if God can keep you going day by day, depending upon Him, you'll have faith for your soul's welfare at the end of the way. So then God, He could very easily have given them freezers full of food. But no, He wouldn't do that. He said, Israel, every day, every day, every day, you must get this every day. Amen. You must get this every day. That's what's wrong with the church world. You know what's wrong today with Martin Luther's followers? You know what's wrong with Brother Branham's followers? You know what's wrong with Wesley's followers? You know what's wrong with the great men of yesterday, their followers? There was nothing wrong with their message. It was a great, mighty outpouring of God. It was a move of God, my brother. It was the move of the hour. It was something that Christ had given them. But you know what's wrong? The thing that's wrong is it's become yesterday's manner. It's become yesterday's manner. Somebody would say, now wait a minute, you can't say that. Why come I can't say that? It was given yesterday. When you bake bread yesterday, isn't that for yesterday? When you bake bread for today, it's today. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that's the word of God back there. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I know that he was the wheat that was bruised. I know that the Bible said he was the wheat that was ground at the mill. But my brother, what we need is some real women, some real churches of God, some real heated up ovens of Christ with the Spirit being fervent in the Spirit that can bake some bread today. Glory to God. Reach back and get the wheat. Reach back and get God's Word. Set it on fire with the Spirit of God today and bake some good hot biscuits for today. Amen. Cook a good meal for today to where people can enjoy it for today. You set them cold biscuits back and watch the worms get into them. Somebody said, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? Look at Wesley's message. If it ain't full of worms, then what has happened to it? Look at Brother Branham's message. If it ain't full of worms, what's happened to it? You say, what are you talking about, full of worms? God said, Jacob, thy worm, I will help thee. The Bible speaks of the flesh, and it says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. What's happened? A bunch of theologians has gotten into it. That's the worm. When the theologians get into it, when they begin to split hairs over it, when they make it a legalistic thing, when it becomes a college and a seminary instead of the quickening of the Spirit, the worms has gotten into it. It begins to rot. It begins to stink. Somebody would say, what do you mean it begins to rot? It begins to stink. Look at it and see. The first news you know, that same message that Wesley preached of old time Holy Ghost living, that same wonderful Spirit that spoke back there, that talked to him, it's departed. It's been driven out. They wouldn't have it. Isn't that right? Why? The worms got in. The worms got in and the Holy Ghost had to leave it. And that same message of holiness that one time was the truth of God, that one time was the Word of God, what has happened to it? What has happened to it? It's bred worms. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you can't say things like that. Well, come, I can't. But you're talking about God's Word. But the Bible said they changed God's Word into a lie. Somebody say, I love Jesus. When Satan stood and quoted the Word of God to Jesus, he changed it into a lie. They have changed the Word of God into a lie. Not only that, but men running from coast to coast, working lying signs and wonders and miracles. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said they're working lying signs and wonders and miracles. You say, how do you get that, Brother Pike? Anytime a man preaches the love of God, the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. And anytime a man preaches healing, 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 healing. And he never tells a person they've got to live holy. That man is perverting the gospel. He's building faith, all right. Because there is the love of God, he's building faith. All right, because those people are believing in the goodness of God. And in this hour, as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, that faith will go up and that grace will come down. Because the rain is on the just and the unjust, the water is on the wheat and the tare. And they'll get a good drink and they'll get healed. But my brother, just as much as they changed the Word of God into a lie, they've changed the miracle into a lie. They've changed the whole thing into corruption. And they're going headlong into destruction. Headlong into destruction. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. Don't you believe that those things are of God? Say, devils can't work miracles. Where'd you read that in the Bible? Somebody say, now you know, Brother Pike, that devils can't work miracles. Oh yes, devils can work miracles. The Bible said, and those three unclean spirits like frogs went out of the mouth of the false prophet, the dragon, the beast, and went into all the world, all of the earth, working miracles that they might deceive the great men of the earth. Sure, they can work miracles. Angels can work miracles. Not only that, Satan has changed himself or transformed himself into an angel of light. Into an angel of light. Not only that, but his ministers, by the renewing of their mind, Paul said, have literally transformed their thinking into words of light. The Bible said that there, the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness, which means ministers of the word. They can go out and commit evil out yonder. They can go out and do their evil out yonder. They can pull shady deals in business. They can commit evil and fornication. They can thieve. They can steal. They can rob. They can lie. They can cheat. They can swindle. They can backbite. Cause division. Tear down. Still get up there behind the sacred desk. And when the Spirit of God begins to move in the audience because people are hungry for God, all of a sudden they transform their minds and they begin to talk about the words of righteousness and begin to quote the scripture just like Satan quoted it to Jesus. Satan quoted the word of God right down the line. That's why that I do not believe in legalistic views of the Bible. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in these people that's supposed to have a photostatic mind. Every time you go around them, they can quote this passage of Scripture and quote that passage of Scripture. Something's wrong with them people. They've got the wrong motive. Their purpose is wrong. You say, you don't know that, Brother Pike. Yes, I do know that. How do you know that? Because I started to do it one time and God stopped me. He said, it's wrong. You know the beautiful thing about God, children of God, when God stops you and tells you that it's wrong, He'll prove to you that it's wrong. And God said, don't you do that. That's wrong. I'm not interested in that. He said, I don't care about you quoting the Bible and all those kind of things. I want you to understand the Bible. I said, but Lord, we got to quote that word just like it is. And I heard something speak. And here come the scripture out of the Old Testament. Back there where the prophet said, thus and thus and thus. And then something spoke. And out of the New Testament, here come the words of Jesus. And something said, is this the same? And I heard the Spirit say, it's the same. And my brother, it was the same. I said, my God, that's what the prophet said. That's what Jesus quoted. And then I stopped and I said, wait a minute now. Because I heard something correct me. Wait a minute. He didn't quote that word by word. Now listen. He didn't quote that word by word. But oh, my brother, he gave the meaning when he unveiled it. He put it in his own words, but enough that you knew that it come from that prophet. Is that right? Somebody say, I love Jesus. But look at Lucifer. When Lucifer come over there, he showed what kind of Bible scholar he was. Thus and thus, Lucifer said to Jesus, it is written, word by word. Somebody say, amen. Oh, my brother, what we need is God. God wants us to be led by His Spirit. Let's follow Christ, the Spirit. Let's get a hold of the Spirit of God. God could have given those Israelites back there whatever they wanted. But God gave them a little bit at a time to capture their heart, to keep them dependent upon Him. Why is it that the salvation is sent unto the poor? The gospel is sent into all the world, everybody, every creature. But when it speaks of salvation, it's sent to the poor. Why is that? Why is that? Because they're rich in faith. The rich cannot be rich in faith. Not many mighty are called. Why is that? Because they don't have to depend on God. They don't exercise their faith. They don't have to exercise their ability in Christ. They've got money in the bank. They've got securities. They've got all the things they need. They don't have to exercise their ability in believing in God. Therefore, they're dead on the inside. But that poor feller, he don't have anything. If he'll give God a chance in his life, he has to struggle and believe. Keep believing. And his faith keeps growing. And after a while, he can believe in God. He can believe in God. He can believe in God. And he saves his soul. That's why Paul said in the book of Romans, He speaks of it, a continual warfare, he said, between the body and between the spirit. Those twins that are struggling, fighting and warring all the time. And he said this, that we must overcome the body. You know, this ritualistic are preaching miracles today, are preaching healing today, are preaching divine deliverance today and love of God today and grace today. Trying to strip the people of every dollar that they can get, take everything down to the shoes off of their feet. Trying to get them a name and get a little prestige when the Bible says that Jesus sought not to make a reputation of himself. He didn't seek that. That isn't the spirit of Christ. He said, Brother Pike, you don't believe God gives a man a reputation? He said, David, I've taken thee from among the sheepfold. I've raised thee up and given thee a name like unto the great men of the earth. But the Bible said God did that. David didn't go looking for it. David was busy being about the Father's business. Brother, when you go after the things that exalt you, that is the spirit of Satan. You must go after God. You must come out as Christ did. Humble yourself to wash your brother's feet. Let the Lord magnify you. How then can God magnify me, Brother Pike? The Bible said, because ye have loved righteousness, even God thy God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Learn to love righteousness, pursue goodness, and God will anoint thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. But see, the church of today, that is the false church of today, and it got the true church all mixed up. And the false brethren of today that Paul spoke of that was among them, these people have got the church all tore up. Their spots and their blemishes in their feast of charity. There are wells without water, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, leading them into destruction, wandering stars of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever, raging waves that's foaming out their shame. God is angry with the wicked every day. But those ministers stand up, and what do? They don't preach a life of holiness. They say it doesn't matter if you dress out in your bathing suit, and it doesn't matter if you dress out in your shorts, and it doesn't matter if you men run around in your pistol leg pants so tight it looks like you've been melted and poured at them. And it doesn't matter if you run around with your hair shaggy down like some wild animal down here. It doesn't matter if you're lazy around and take dope and do everything else. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you cheat and swindle, and the boys go on at the women, and the women go on at the boys, and they just mix and mingle and frolic and everything. Oh, but brother, let me tell you, it does matter. It does matter. God's got rules and regulations and spiritual direction for our life. Why then did God say that they that belong to God, that they have mortified the deeds of the body? Why did I read to you in the book of Romans where it said the man that is not in the flesh but in the spirit, he mortifies the deeds of the flesh. He kills out the flesh. Why is it the Bible said he that is in the flesh cannot please God? Why is it the Bible said they that mind the things of the flesh? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, mind the things of the flesh? Paul said this thing has to do with the mind, children of God. It has to do with the mind, when your mind's on your passions and the mind's on your human desires and the mind's on this feeling that's always running over your body that wants man and woman to intermingle with human relation. When your mind's on gossip, when your mind's on the world, when your mind's on trying to defend your rights, as they say, in this world. When your mind's on new cars and new homes and money and prestige. All of those things that pertain to the natural. They that mind the flesh are of the flesh and they are the bond's child. And this world belongs to them for a period of time. But brother, there's squatters, and someday when God runs a glorified abstract, you're going to get them off of it. So then, you say, well, what are they doing on it now, Brother Pike? So that the beast won't overrun the land. Hallelujah. God's got to keep some kind of systematic order of law and order. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Some kind of systematic law and order. God's got to keep it with that ritualistic formality of college and everything else out yonder. That business world out there that's perverted, God's got to keep it. Why has he got to keep it? Because the beasts, such as the hippies, such as all of them that are brood beasts, murderers, would overrun the land and everything would be havoc. See, and we've got to go in and take the land. How are we going to go in and take it? Move through the Spirit. For they shall wear out the saints of God, and then the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Listen, children of God. We are to be led by God's Spirit. Led by God's Spirit. Sometimes, now you think about this and you make a comparison with yourself. And you know and think about the times in the past how you've been grieved. But when I say what I'm about to say, think about the rejoicing this is going to bring to your heart. You know, so many times you've labored and got you an extra dollar, got your extra hundred, got you an extra 300, extra 500 and laid it up. Oh, this will help me out a little bit. And about that time, something begins to move. Somebody begins to preach and maybe they don't even ask for an offering. Something begins to happen. And something whispers, you could help if you would. And all of a sudden, here goes your three and your five. And say, oh my, woe is me, oh my. God, can't I have nothing? Can't I have nothing? And there it goes. But just think, the Lord did that, saying, oh Israel, I want your love and affection. My people have forgotten me days without number. Oh, what would it be like, you men that had a wife that never come near you, that never loved you, never cared for you, never spoke a kind word to you, never done anything in the home for you? What would it be like to you ladies if you had a companion that was the same way? See, what would it be like? God said, you've forgotten me with days without number. Said, why, even the ox knows his crib. He knows his master. Amen. But my people don't think. They don't stop and remember me. I want their fellowship. I want fellowship too. You grieve me too. I want your fellowship. You know, Abraham, thou art a friend to God. Thou art a friend to God. You say, but how can I be a friend to God? God is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. How can I be a friend to a Holy Spirit? By being holy. By being holy. See, how can I fellowship a spirit? By becoming spiritual. How can I relate to God who is a spirit? By turning away from the man part, by turning away from the world part, by turning away from the fleshly part, and become spiritual and love God by believing. You say, why believing? Because faith is what makes me relative to the Spirit. Faith is what makes me relative to the Spirit. I can't touch the Spirit, nor the Spirit can't touch me unless I believe. Abraham, faithful Abraham, thou art a friend to God. Let's believe in God. Let's be led by the Spirit. God wants to lead you by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now listen, if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. Brother, sister, you cannot please God if you are in the flesh. How then can I know that I am in the flesh, Brother Pike? Because you mind the things of the flesh. You want to eat, you want to drink, you want to frolic. You want to ride, you want to buy, you want to do the things of the world. How then can I know that I am not in the flesh and in the Spirit? Because I mind the things of the Spirit. And what is the things of the Spirit? I want to fast, I want to pray, I want to win souls, I want to sacrifice, I want to live holy. I want to keep gossip out of my mind, I want to keep infiltration out. I want to cast down every thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That I might be like my Savior in all things. Oh, hallelujah. You that have to make that sacrifice and say, there goes my two. There goes my three. And the other man, he's got him a nice, beautiful vehicle. And he goes by, you know, and he's got him the nice home. And he's got him the nice everything. But oh, brother, sister, remember you got something that he hasn't got. You say, what is that? You've got eternal life. You've got eternal riches. You've got an eternal promise. You've got an eternal protection. You can hear the voice of God, and he cannot hear the voice of God. My sheep know my voice. You can hear that voice. You belong to God. You've honored God. You've obeyed God. You've become the friend of God. When God needed a friend, and God said, loan me a dollar. Loan me a dollar. Somebody said, well, I would, but I don't think it's of God myself. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Say, look, would you help me win some souls? Well, I would, but I ain't got no confidence in that preacher down there. You hypocrite. What it is, you got your bank account and you don't want to share it with God. The love of money's got you just like it did Judas. Somebody say amen. All right. So then, This other fellow, he gives what he's got, you know, if he has to sell the shoes off his feet. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, I think you're going too far. Well, maybe that's too far for you, but I'm talking about these other folks where the Bible said they sold all that they had. Everything that they had, and laid it down in Christ's feet. They gave to the widows and gave to the orphans. No man said aught was his. So then you say, what do you mean by that? I'm saying this, that when you give your little bit, see, and you're going on with God. God is leading you by the Spirit. God is leading you by the Spirit. You're following step after step after step. When the little widow gave everything she had to Elijah, all that she had, she gave her very living. Somebody said, well, God wants me to pay my debts. God wants me to take care of my children. God wants you to forget about all that you're saying and seek the kingdom of God first and obey His word. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to forget about that good name that you think you've got and that thing that you think you've got in taking care of your wife and children and all these other things. He wants you to forget about that and follow His word. God's word is spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. That's what God wants you to do. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you mean take the last biscuit out of my son's mouth? Well, it ain't that bad today. I wish it was where I could do that. There was a time when me and Betty could do that and we done it. But I'm afraid that today, you know, God's blessed so much it's hard to do that. We try to give, we give and give, and God shovels in with a steam shovel. You know, and our cup runs over. You say, but Brother Pike, there's one thing you got to remember. She gave that to Elijah. Bless God, you bring Elijah and we'll do it. But oh, my brother, a greater than Solomon's here. A greater than Elijah's here. Today this is the Son of God. And the Bible said they shall all be taught of God. This is the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, who came in the spirit of Elijah. The Bible said, though he was more than a prophet, yet he that is a member of the body of Jesus Christ, he that is translated in the kingdom of God, for the Bible said God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. He that is translated in the kingdom of God, he is greater than John. There is a greater here than John. There is a greater here than Elijah. Oh, what can we do? Oh, what can we do? What can we do? Is that the call of your heart? Is that the cry of your heart? What can we do? Somebody gets in poverty. Somebody gets down. Somebody ain't got nothing. They say, boy, if God give me, I sure would give him. You hypocrite. You didn't give to him when you had. If you had it again, you still wouldn't give it to him. All you're trying to do is bargain your way out of the pit. That's all. Them people in hell would say the same thing down yonder. God, they wouldn't say, God, if you brought me back, I'd split 50-50 with you. They just say, Lord, bring me back. You can have it all. Just bring me back. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right, I'm going to close in just a little bit. Give me just a little more time, and I'll close. So then, there is a continual warfare. Why is it that the preachers of today want to give all the goodies, and when they prepare the meal, they just want to pray for the sick, and they just want to do these things, and they don't want to preach holiness. They don't want to grieve nobody. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you know you're not supposed to upset God's people? The Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment. When you do wrong, the Bible said lift up your voice like a trumpet, show my people of their sins. Though they fast, though they pray, though they do all of those things, he said they still ain't walking straight. They find pleasure in the day of their fasting. They do all these things. Somebody says, I think I'll go on a 30-day fast. Why? I'm going to get me a big tent so I can make a million. Get on TV. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All of their labors they exact in the day of their fasting. You don't fast for me, he said. How's that? Fast that the weary soul can find a refreshing. Fast that you can break your old outer man down to where you can have the love of God and take them in. That's on the outside and share with them and put clothes on the naked. Feed that little hungry one that's outside and those poor that's outside your door. Somebody said, Brother Pike, nobody lives in my neighborhood like that. But oh, somebody lives in my neighborhood like that. Amen. How many knows India's part of my neighborhood? Somebody said, wait a minute, that's not America, but the Bible said, go ye into all the world, Brother Pike. That's part of my neighborhood. Hallelujah, that's part of my neighborhood. And then besides that, in America, there's a need. How do you know there's a need in America? I heard recently, through conversation the other night, that some outstanding missionaries got together. They scrutinized the map. They looked at all parts of the world, and they looked at India, and they looked at Africa, and they looked at all the other parts of the world where the gospel had gone. And they was trying to decide what part of the world needed the gospel more than any other part. And when they got through, they said, "We found out at last, it is New York. It is New York." Out of India, out of Africa, out of all of the world, they said New York was in worse need of the gospel than any other place in the world. So then, you understand what I'm saying? There is a neighbor somewhere. There is somebody we can help. All we do, brother, sister, is find fault. We criticize. We find fault. We don't unionize. We don't work together. We don't try to work together. It's every man looking to his own quarter for his own gain, trying to get his little group off over here so he can sap every dollar out of them. You know, that's one thing I thank God for. The brethren at Bethlehem has given hundreds of thousands of dollars into the gospel. And they have given many multiplied thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to evangelists and different people, helping other ministries so as not to be selfish. I thank God for that. Every man looking to his own quarter. Where is our zeal for world evangelism? Where is our zeal for winning souls, folks? What are we going to do about it? Have you out there? Let's spark up just a little bit. Can you spark up just a little bit? Don't go to sleep. You can go to the cafe in a few minutes. You know, the Bible said all of our labor is for our belly because our belly craves it of us. You know why that is? Because the Bible said God put the serpent on his belly. And brother, if we don't follow God, we'll be on our belly. Did you know that? Somebody say amen. Paul said, "I say me to keep from saying you. You that are guilty." All right. So then let's feed off of that meat. Whereas Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work." Now, you know, you can enjoy eating, you can enjoy drinking, you can enjoy riding in your car, you can enjoy living in your home, you can enjoy the piece of land God's given you, you can enjoy the clothing, you can enjoy the money. God will make your cup run over. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Yeah, I can preach like the other ministers too. God wants you to prosper above all things. But the Bible said, "As your soul prospereth." I was talking to two men the other night, and they was talking about these riches that the church was supposed to have. And his brother was telling me about these riches the church was supposed to have. And he was really letting a gullible thing come along. And I listened and I said, "Yeah, that's good. That's good, brother. That's good, brother." In my church, don't mess with the clothesline too much because I have to turn my head sometime to preach. Whereas I understand some of those things, you know. I understand. But let me tell you something. When it comes to riches, I said, "Brother, God said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health." He said, "Labor that you might have." For what purpose? So that you might give. "I would above all things that you prosper and be in health." So let's preach prosperity because he said that. Let's preach health because he said that. But I said, "Brother, he said, as our soul prospereth." I said, "Where is seeking the kingdom first?" I said, "All that hinge on the fact that you seek the kingdom first and lay everything down that they might be added unto you." And it sure did change the situation. It sure did change the situation. Let's tell the people about holiness first. Let's tell the ladies they're supposed to dress as becometh holiness. Let's tell the men they're supposed to have the same soberness that they had in the days of old. And they're not to play around with the women. And the women's spirits not to play around with the men. And they're to be grave and sober. Somebody said, "But Brother Pike, you just take all the life out of it." It does, don't it? It does. That's why the Bible said that you give it to the morticians. You mortify the deeds of the flesh. Isn't that right? You just take all the life out of it. If there can't be a little bit of this with the ladies and a little bit of this with the man, there's no spark about it. And that's why you have to get a new spark. But brother, I'll tell you what, when you get the spark that I got, you feel like David of old. Old David rejoiced in the Spirit of God. He loved Jonathan. And he said, my, I said, your love is better than that of women, Jonathan. Boy, our fellowship when we get together, God, whoo, the spirit I feel, this greatness I feel. Oh, there's a spark that'll break out into a flame. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, don't you think you ought to love your wife and your wife love you? I love my wife. She loves me. We love one another. You ought to love one another. Jesus put male and female together. That's good. But you don't have to go around with all this thing that's sweeping all over the world and half-nude women on signboards and every book you pick up and magazines and everything and television and always form-fitting clothes and everything to keep some kind of spirit to keep you alive. You know what it is? People are dying. They're drying up. They're looking for some kind of inspiration. They get out to the ball game. They've got to have some kind of inspiration. They get out to the car races and say, kill him, kill him. Turn the thing over, turn the thing over. They can't be satisfied with it whirling around the field. They've done that too much. They can't be satisfied with the wrestler throwing him down, saying he's the winner. Say, break his neck, break his neck, break his neck. Them demons are crying out, crying out, crying out, as they did in that paganistic day of Paul. Somebody say amen. Brother, we don't need that kind of life. We don't need that kind of excitement. We don't need that temporal inspiration. We got the waters of life. God is cutting off the grace, the waters of life that's coming down from above. You know how we preach it on the tape? You've got the sermon, the days of no other rain. See, it's coming from within now. There's a fountain on the inside of the tabernacle open now. The house of David, hallelujah. There's a fountain open now. All that's drying up out there is becoming a mud hole for tadpoles. Praise God. You know, I just feel like preaching now. I better close because I just feel like preaching now. How we never did get into the mysteries for talking about the gospel. Just preaching the simple gospel. Let's believe. Let's receive our healing. Let's receive our prosperity. Let's receive our blessings. But brother and sister, let's be careful to maintain good works. Let's mortify the deeds of the flesh and prove that we're walking in the Spirit. Let's be a spiritual person. Paul said, I would speak unto you as unto spirituals. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. All the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Let's love one another. Don't you want this life? Don't you want this life? Somebody said, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? You're talking about this. I get so tired. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Oh, glory to God. I'm talking about life, life, life. By the spoonfuls and by the cupfuls. Life. Life. You know, it's no wonder that people have such a drab experience with God. They go to church and they sit there. They don't even know why they're at church. Jesus said, I come that you might have life. See, what's this all about? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, bringing you life. For I'm the Prince of Life. I come that you might have life. Not only life, but he said, children of God, to just be filled up and overflowing. I just want you to have it such great, mighty abundance that it just overflows like an artesian well. Do you want life? Somebody would say, well, after dinner, we'll talk about it. The old serpent's got to get back to his belly subject. Somebody say amen. If you ever notice all the colleges and all of the teachings is on the subject of the belly. You ever notice that? So let's study health a little bit, all right? What we're going to learn about? We're going to learn about the brain. And we're going to learn about the bones. And we're going to learn about the bloodstream. And we're going to learn about the blood that leads back to some food that goes down into the belly. All signs. We're going to shoot at the moon. We're going to take a trip to the stars. Is that right? Yeah, we're going to find another place. What do you want another place for? This is about to be blown up. We're going to build us a great city. Why are you going to do that? So we can have a place to plant us a crop. Why? So we can feed our belly. Somebody say amen. All of their labors for their belly, because their belly craves it of them, because Jesus said, thou shalt go upon thy belly, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And said with the word of God, that Son of God shall bruise that old intellectual reasoning of yours, that old head of yours. And he said, you'll go upon your belly all the days of your life. That old worm that's always getting in the manor when you hold it over. You know, that man's thinking, that man's spirit that gets into yesterday's teachings and tries to make the Word of God a lie instead of having a fresh anointing and a fresh moving of the Spirit of the Word of God for today. Getting manna every day, being led by the Spirit that gives that bread that's fresh out of the oven of heaven. All of the labor see, John's that a crooked generation of vipers. All right, let's stand together. We'll take just a minute now and pray over the prayer clause. If I holler and shout at you, brethren, I love you. I love you. I want to do something for you. I want to tell you the truth. I want to help you. I want to help you, but I don't want to see you deceived. Whereas the Bible said, if you have a love for the truth, you won't be deceived. Paul said, I'm not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. If I tell you the full counsel of God, what God requires of you, see, then you understand and you know. And if you know, okay, then if you know, if you love that truth that you hear, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You say, free from what, Brother Pye? It will make you free from sin and from death. So then, you got a real deliverance then. God can heal your body, heal your mind, and you can really be whole and healthy. Have real faith in God then, not a make-believe and a sham, but a real, genuine thing. Not a lying sign and a wonder. Today you advertise somebody that's been miraculously healed. Like I heard not too long ago, the flashback on TV, they was telling about this great miracle that took place in this great man's meeting. And while they were testifying of it on this flashback, the woman had already died, understand, from the very same thing that had been published all across the nation. Like another great man's magazine, a great, outstanding thing. One of the greatest in the world brought it to me, and I said, no, that ain't right. That ain't true. That ain't true, and it had this covered up in beautiful color on one of the biggest magazines. I said, no, it ain't. God ain't in it. It ain't true. Later on, you know the story. When I had a revival, and lo and behold, out of all people out of the world, here comes the very person that the article was wrote about. That was at the Great Campaign. See, and I want to ask you a question, Brother Pike. I said, all right. She said, let me show you this. And so she did. And she said, what do you think about it? I said, I think it's a lie. I said, it ain't right. Oh, but that can't be. I happen to know. I said, you do? She said, yeah. I said, well, if you happen to know, it's still a lie. She said, but Brother Pike, what if I told you it was me? I said, it's still a lie. And finally, in a few days, when I sat in my tent meeting, she came and made her confession. It was a lie. It was a lie. And she made the confession of the evil, low-down, filthy thing her and the other woman was doing at the campaign when the article was published. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The truth is the truth, my brother. And if you know the truth, it'll make you free. But if you don't, the devil will overwhelm you and press on you and push on you, and you don't know whether it's true or whether it ain't true, and they'll have you going around in such a circle until you won't be able to stand for nothing. Love the truth, and the truth will make you free. Okay, Brother Conrad asked that we pray over these clause, and we want to pray over them. I want you to pray with me. You'll just stretch your hand out in this direction, by that letting me know that you're standing with me in prayer and that you're believing God this morning, because your prayers are the greatest of importance, children of God. See, when the Bible speaks of the sick, it said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It could be Brother Pike's prayer this morning, but it could be your prayer. A lot of times when your faith is down, I may be praying for you standing in the gap. A lot of times when my faith is down, you may be praying for me. And you may be standing in the gap and God can let you make up the hedge and reward me because of your prayers until I can get over the broken gap and get back to where I can get my faith up that He can continue to bless me and keep me. Let's pray one for another and make up the hedge and fill in the gap so there can be a chain reaction of blessings. Let's pray for them that are without that God may grant repentance unto life for them. For we are royal priesthood to pray that God will grant repentance unto them. He cannot fellowship them in iniquity, but He can answer your prayer toward them. Let's pray that God will forgive us for the thoughts of our heart, for our sins and wrongs. And let's pray for these prayer cloths, for this bottle of oil. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, Ramanda Ramashanda Rabasaya. Ondala mali alamo shitala mandali andala vala sindala mukala mashitai. Me andori andoramo karamandori andoramando ramarabashai. Me andori andoramo karamandori andorabo shitaramandori andorabo sandoramo sandoramanaya. Ila vasandai kamamamashita ramamamasaya. Hallelujah. I feel you anointing these claws, my Heavenly Father. Bless them, Lord, and wherever they go. May the healing power and the Spirit of God be felt as people place their faith in God. Lord, is the confident that the prayers of the saints are behind these claws. Oh God, may it be that means of contact between us and between them to let them in a tangible manner feel something, Lord, to know that the saints have prayed for them, that they may believe in God and the prayers of the saints. Holy Father, let it be as it was with Paul when aprons were taken out from his body and special miracles were wrought. Heal and forgive and deliver and drive away by the Holy Spirit all unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. If there be one here this morning that's troubled with unclean spirits, break the yoke, my Father. And oh God, heal the body of the sick that are here this morning. And do something special for my people in Jesus' name. Father, anoint this bottle of oil this morning with your presence, even as you anointed the ground wherein Moses stood when he said, the ground wherein thou standest is holy ground. Make this to be a holy oil, Father. Anoint it with thy Spirit. Anoint it with thy Spirit, O mighty God. Father, we know the only holiness of that ground was your Spirit. We know the only holiness of this oil would be your Spirit and presence. But anoint it in Jesus' name, that it might be holy in thy sight. Anoint our bodies that are made out of the dust and out of the same ground that you made holy, and make our crown holy. Make our bodies holy, for we are the temples of God and the holy temples of God, wherein thou hast made us holy as holy temples. Make us holy, Father, that we may be holy in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing a chorus together. I really felt that. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it again. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You love Jesus this morning? Let's just lift our hands one more time now. There's room at the cross. I'm not going to call you to the altars this morning, but there is room at the cross. It doesn't have to be at the altar. We have better altars, for we have the altars of God within our heart, upon which we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God as a reasonable service. Are you my beloved brother, sister? Are you actually offering yourself holy? Are you this morning standing in my presence with reservation of heart? Do you have reservation of heart this morning? Do you have a reservation of heart this morning? Are you fully giving yourself? The song said, fully trusting in His grace this hour. Are you with reservation of heart? Are you holding back some part of your life, some part of your body? The Bible tells us to be holy in body and in spirit. Are you making your every effort to use your body, your appearance for God, your body for God, your strength for God, your efforts, your activity? When you look in the mirror, do you look in the mirror saying, oh God, may I present myself as would be according to holiness and inspiring toward righteousness? Oh God, let the preparation of my being, as I comb through my hair, as I wash over my face, as I lift up my countenance, oh Jesus, as I adorn my body with garments, may I do it in accords of holiness, my Lord. May I be holy in body, soul, and spirit. May I do this all the days of my life. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? I feel Him at home in His temple this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Meditating in the laws of God day and night. Hallelujah. Jesus at home in His temple. Don't you feel Him this morning? Hallelujah. Don't you love Him this morning? Don't you love Him this morning? The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, this morning God wants you to be led by spirits. He wants to give an utterance. Whether it be uttering forth words of prophecy, whether it be uttering forth words in an unknown tongue, whether it be uttering forth in the strength of divine deliverance and praying for the sick or working the miraculous or endeavoring to do a job for Christ if it's nothing but digging a ditch. Can you turn your thoughts over to God to shun the very appearance of evil even in your thinking? To bring every thought into subjection, as David of old said, even to the intents of my heart. Can you do it? To meditate in His laws of righteousness day and night. You'll become as a tree planted by the water. Hallelujah. Planted by the river of life. The river of life. Revelation said those trees was by the river of life. And that tap root went down into the river of life. Therefore, when they bore fruit, they bore fruits, which was fruits of life. Fruits of life. Are you anchored, grounded? Is the root of your heart, the root in the offspring of David, running from your heart down into the stream of the eternal Spirit? From out of there, is there coming forth waters of eternal life? Are the elements being brought forth As that water sweeps those elements through the ground as it comes to feed that tree, that water of life that's flowing through Jesus is the attributes of Jesus coming into your body to nourish you. Is it picking up the elements of His life to bring it to you to where you can be filled with His likeness and grow up into the strength of His greatness? Oh, let's love Jesus. Ye are the branches. I'm the vine, Jesus said. Ye are the branches. My Father, He's the husbandman. And it's His desire that you bring forth much fruit. And what is our fruits? We know the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, these wonderful things against which there's no law. But my brother, there's also something else. That whatever you ask in my name, this is your fruits. He said, and this is the fruits. My Father desires you bear much fruit. What is that fruit? Whatever you ask in my name, He says, your fruits. If you ask something in His name and you can make that thing come to pass, you bore fruit. Did you know that? Somebody say amen. Let's love Him for just a minute. Let's love Him for just a minute. Hallelujah. Just before our brother Taylor comes to dismiss us, let's love Him. I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to bless you. I want to ask God to do something for you this morning. Holy Father, great and loving Father, as we stand in the presence of our God and we look away to Calvary, how wonderful, how thrilling, Father, as we look beyond this world and we see Christ. Christ, Thou art the answer. Ho ramandu ramashita ramandu rabosaya. Ho ramandu riandu rabakaraba rabashandu riandu rabosaya. Oh, Heavenly Father, is the song that we wrote, Christ is the answer. Truly today, Thou art the answer. Thou art the answer to all of our situations, my Father. Be with us, beloved Father. Help us, cleanse us and purge us. Make us anew, for we be trees that shall live forever. Strong, healthy trees. Trees, my Father, that are full of the sap of your glory. Father, we are full of life by reason of your countenance. Living forever. Be with us and help us to believe. Help us to rejoice. Help us to rejoice, my Father. In Jesus' name, bless the children of God this morning. Heal and save and forgive. In Jesus' name, Father, grant your blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together before we dismiss. Give me another key, sister.
Go leave it there. Go leave it there.
Sing it. I felt God wanted me to sing this morning.
Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
Let's raise it just a little bit as we sing that next verse.
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fair, oh, just remember in God's word how He fed the little birds. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there.
Sing it with me.
Go leave it there. Go leave it there. take your burdens to my Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there.
You know, I heard something a good while ago say, saying, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And I thought, well, I will. And I thought, well, Lord, I need to close. So I passed it on off, and I thought, well, maybe the Lord will let us sing it another time. And then after a little bit, and we sang, and time went by, I heard again say, sing, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Somebody, see, could be heavy laden this morning. Somebody could be in desperation. And maybe this one few words would reach them. You know, I always remember the little girl. She's not a little girl now. She's grown married. But she was a little bitty girl. And Betty and I used to go through this area. And we were really having it rough. But I'd pray and talk to God. And I'd ask the Lord to help me. And this little girl, she'd get up and sing this song. A little red-headed girl, remember? She'd sing this song. She'd sing, you can't hurry God. You just have to wait, my brother. Take him at his word that you have heard. And someday or another, he will come and answer your prayer. And when she'd get along about there, that's about all I could take. That tear me all to pieces. I'd hear something from way off say, someday or another. Someday or another. You know, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to believe. Believe. The Bible said after that we have ministered to him, after we have girded our loins, and after we have ministered to him, till he has fed to the full, till he has fed to the full, then he will serve us. Can we sing that one more time?
Go leave it there. Go leave it there. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. You love Jesus?
You want to come for a few minutes for prayer? You're welcome to come. Maybe somebody would like to come for prayer for a few minutes. You're welcome. Let's sing this song as they're coming.
I love him.
Oh, Lord.
I love him. Because he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Sing it one more time, can you?
I love him. I love you because he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Uramanda rubber rubber sheetabara rubber sandurabara saya. Undurianda rubber sandurianda ramanda ramana rubber saya. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, bless this morning. Jesus, forgive this morning. Jesus, heal this morning. Lead, guide, protect this morning, Jesus. In your great spirit, answer prayer, Jesus. Oh, God, give us a vision for the lost, Jesus. Help us to be alive and active in thy kingdom and filled with thy spirit and zeal. Oh, my Father. My Father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Uramandoriarobo Shida Bariandorobo Sandoriandorama Sarabarandorobashai. Yelamandaliandai Nananai Shalamalala Sandali Alamalala Sandai. Yarabo Rabo Rabo Shita Ramandorabo Rabasi Andorobo Shandoramanaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love him. I love him because